Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for December the 10th in the year of our Lord, 2021. This is our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America as our guide. We're convinced the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers, one of the great peaceful, restorative solutions we still have at our fingertips. And as you know, we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. As you know, it's also a freedom-loving, fantastic, faith-filled, we're taking America back, one heart, one mind, one issue at a time Friday. You got to dig that. And a quick recap of yesterday's show makes sense. Then straight ahead, hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use continues. We had our guest on, Mr. Brian Russ, RussCoinAndGift.com, doing a phenomenal job. You and a friend in the coin business, you got it, RussCoinAndGift.com. We talked about the Honest Money Report. We talked about how silver, the spot price is $21.95. But we talked about to get a silver eagle, silver dollar printed by the United States government. Yeah, 2021, silver eagle, silver dollar, cost $36. We talked about how the government lies. Which dollar is the real dollar? It reminds you of the rapper, "Will the real Slim Shady please stand up?" You got a fake Federal Reserve dollar that says it's a dollar. Then you got the silver eagle, silver dollar. That used to be the standard for a dollar when we had constitutional currency. Now the government lies. You know, fake news, front and center. Which dollar is real? Somebody should force the courts to answer. But it also proves that back in the day, it was a dollar for a dollar. You could take a silver eagle, silver dollar, or a piece of paper dollar and exchange them one for another. They were on par. They were equivalent. But ever since they jettisoned the constitutional standard of honest money, gold and silver coinage, now it takes 36 fake Federal Reserve dollars to buy one real silver eagle, silver dollar. It just shows you how debased and how debauched and how dishonest our currency has really become. And that's why every week we have Brian Rust of RustCoinAndGift.com and the Honest Money Report right here on Liberty Roundtable Live. We also talked about Craig Wright, a computer scientist. He claims he's the guy that created Bitcoin. No one knows who really created it, but the bottom line is there's a big battle between him and his dead business partner's family to determine how much of the incredible wealth generated by the fiat currency they would get. They got $100 million, but he got away with a real steal. The dishonest money on trial, if you will, and on tap and center stage when it comes to the court case. Anyway, it's hard to say who really won there. They claim this Craig Wright guy, the computer scientist that created the currency, they claim he's the winner. But the other guy's got $100 million, so very strange. I submit to you that all of it is fake money. You have an EMP in America and turn off the power. How valuable does your Bitcoin become then, you fiat currency advocates? The answer is zero. Welcome to the broadcast. This is Liberty Roundtable, where honesty is indeed the issue. We also talked about Congress gets a crash course on cryptocurrencies. The chiefs of six cryptocurrency companies testified before the House Financial Services Committee about the promises and perils of digital assets. Nancy Pelosi also calls for ban of cryptocurrency trading. Very strange stuff. Anthony Fauci says the definition of fully vaccinated will be changed. So you can't even rely on words anymore. If we're going to change the definition, what science backs that change of definition there, Mr. Science Man? The answer is none. It's a big old lie. Speaking of lies, not only did Fauci lie about so many things, he just lied about Santa. Yeah, Santa received his booster shot and is good to go for Christmas, Dr. Fauci confirmed to USA Today. What a shame. Santa didn't get the vaccine, ladies and gentlemen. At least not at my house he didn't. How do I know? Because I talked to him. Ah, man, Fauci lies. Somebody ought to sue that sucker. Anyway, he continues to be the largest paid bureaucrat in America. right now, and we continue to pay for his absolute flat-out lies. The only real one with guts trying to get him out of service ship, if you will, and get him fired would be Rand Paul. I commend Rand for the job. If enough of us were willing to take it up, we could get him fired in a second, but most Americans simply do not care. Senate votes to reject vaccine mandates. That's great news, but the House will never take it up because it's too bipartisan. The courts, three times in a row, jettisoned the vaccine mandate as well. We'll get to that as the broadcast unfolds. Lawmakers also killed a measure that would have required women to register for the draft or register for the Selective Service and be forced in any draft. So that's at least a temporary good news win. We also talked about Meta, formerly Facebook, has a brilliant suggestion, they say, to keep your nude photos offline. Just send them to them. They'll make sure that they stay offline. I got a better plan. Don't take nude photos in the first place, and then you won't need to worry if they're online or not, okay? That's just my recommendation. Second hour, we had on our guest, Mark J. Victor. We're talking about the idea the world needs now. What is it? They say it's the only world's peace movement, liveandletlive.org. If you want to learn more about it, liveandletlive.org. He's also with attorneysforfreedom.com. Very fascinating conversation with Mark J. Victor. We talked about Live and Let Live, the road to peace, prosperity, and happiness, libertarians claim. And they say, hey, we can peacefully transition to a world where, hey, you just don't need to use force against people, okay? There's two kind of ideas. One is you can pursue your life as you want to. Others can pursue their lives as they want to, but what you can't do is use force against others. How does the Live and Let Live movement apply to victimless crimes? Well, there wouldn't be any such thing as a victimless crime. If there's no victim, there's no crime, right? We also talked about the price we must pay to achieve freedom and peace as we remove even our own moral views from the law. Does Live and Let Live lead to a bigger or smaller government? The question is, I would submit smaller by nature. What are the values of the Live and Let Live movement? If anybody can do whatever they want to, and if you leave your morality at the door when it comes to legalese, what are the values? We talked about that. We also talked about, do you listen to the Peace Radicals podcast? That's a podcast Mark does. If not, why the heck not? Anyway, great, great show yesterday. And, you know, I'm a real supporter of the Live and Let Live movement. I believe in the general points. There's a little bit of me that says, hey, wait a minute. Bastille is the law. Kind of comes into play at some point here. You can't just have a complete free-for-all. I mean, in other words, there's got to be force somewhere, somehow, or you can't have government at all, because what about those people who don't want any government whatsoever? Well, you're going to force them to at least accept some degree of government? And if you don't force them to accept some degree of government, then somebody else is going to force you because you wouldn't force. In other words, sadly, that's the reality, is sometimes those who have the biggest force capabilities become the forceful faction nevertheless. And so I love the libertarian movement. I love the live and let live ideas. I do have a little bit of concern in its practicality and reality. That's why the founding fathers believe there needs to be limited constitutional government by the consent of the governed. The libertarians would say, well, how well is that working out for you, Sam? And I would say, you know what, it ain't working out great nowadays because we've followed the slippery slope, but it's worked out quite well for a long time. We've had more freedom for more people in the history of the world than anywhere. So it's far from perfect, but you know what? On the other hand, we are making a lot of progress. So there you have that. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that's a recap of Liberty Roundtable Live yesterday. Still available online at libertyroundtable.com. and lovingliberty.net. Spread the word, tell your neighbor, would you please? Without further ado, we'd like to welcome our consistent co-host on Fridays back, Mr. Chris Carlson. Welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live, sir.
Thank you, Sam. Without God, we can never win. With God, we can never lose. The battle for freedom is the Lord's, but we need to be engaged in that fight. Lieutenant Carlson, reporting for duty, sir.
Welcome to the broadcast, my friend. So much to talk about, so little time. I want to talk about a couple of items that just came out in Joel Skousen's World Affairs Brief, ladies and gentlemen. And rarely does the World Affairs Brief come out in time to brief you on the show and on what's going on. It usually comes out after the show on Fridays. But, man, our buddy, Joel Skousen at World Affairs Brief, really doing a phenomenal job, ladies and gentlemen. Now, here's the headline. All Biden vaccine mandates have been blocked by the courts. Isn't that tremendous news? I know we got a long way to go, and I know it's been rough, but this is really important, Chris.
Yep, three strikes, you're out. Unfortunately, the Biden administration is going to keep pushing and trying, and it looks like they're going to postpone their efforts until after the first of the year, Sam. But yeah, there are three strikes against them at this point. Do you want me to read the headline here? Or not that you read the headline. Do you want me to read the opening statement? So,
absolutely.
Yes, Joel Skousen, worldaffairsbrief.com. Because Biden's attorney could not show that vaccines reduce transmission, and that's an important word, Sam. Keep an eye on that ball. No pun intended. Reduce transmission of COVID. A federal judge ruled against the Biden mandate for all health care workers employed in the Medicaid, Medicare system in the 10 states under his jurisdiction. So it's about transmissibility. It turns out that these clot shots do not prevent the transmission of the disease, or at least nobody can prove that.
The truth shall set you free, they say, ladies and gentlemen. Chris Carlson with me. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Live.
People in government hate to be compared to Nazi Germany, but what is going on with the COVID vaccine is very similar to the beginning of something that happened not long ago. From 1933 to 1945, Nazi Germany carried out a campaign to cleanse German society of individuals viewed as biological threats to the nation's health. Enlisting doctors, the Nazis developed a health policy that began with mass sterilization of what they called genetically diseased persons, Jews, blacks, and gypsies. With legitimacy provided by science experts, the Nazi regime carried out a program of forced sterilization, then isolation from the rest of the German population, and finally, euthanasia, that found its most radical manifestation in the death of millions of people that were considered a national health risk. Sound familiar?
Paid for by Ammon Bundy for governor. VoteBundy.com.
Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government, and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education, conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? Please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
Back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Chris Carlson, Sam Buchman on your radio. So the bottom line is Biden's getting shut down on his vaccine mandate everywhere under the sun possible. Three court cases went against Biden already, and the Senate voted against Biden already. The House will never take it up. Nevertheless, you know, this Judge Baker's decision came in a case that was originally filed by a bunch of different states, including Idaho, Utah, a bunch of them, governors of those states. We're pushing for this along with the Board of Regents. And basically they're saying, look, it's abuse of power by Biden. The fact is there's no evidence that these vaccines help with transmission at all. They don't stop transmission of the virus. Therefore, it's not a legitimate vaccine in the traditional definition. Chris?
No, they're not. Sorry, I was back on the World Affairs Brief. Yeah. So, yeah, in fact, they had to change that definition just recently, I think in September of this year, and we talked about that a little bit. So the vaccine no longer confers immunity, and it's no longer guaranteed to prevent transmission from one person to another. And this is a wholesale change after about 150 years of defining vaccines as an attenuated virus that you inject into your body that gives your immune system an opportunity to identify and then to create an immunity against it. Now we have the definition, which according to Merriam-Webster's dictionary, is any preparation that, oh no, that's the old definition, a preparation that is administered as by injection to stimulate the body's immune response against a specific infectious disease. And they've really dumbed down the definition of a vaccine in order to qualify the new COVID vaccines that are coming out as vaccines, which they're really not in the traditional sense. And they do not confer immunity, nor do they prevent transmissibility from one host to another, Sam. And that's extremely important. And this judge, now the one I'm on is Judge Matthew Shelp. Is that the one you mentioned?
Well, I mentioned a different one. There's three of them all in a row, though, that went against Biden. So it doesn't matter which one. Either all of them are all three judges, and they're all three highlighting inconsistencies in the authority that Biden has or does not have, for that matter.
Mm-hmm. Well, Judge Matthew Shelp makes a statement that whether or not the vaccine significantly lower transmissibility of the SARS-CoV-2 virus, including the variants, the lack of data regarding vaccination status and transmissibility in general is concerning. The effectiveness of the vaccine is to prevent disease transmission by those vaccinated. It is not, and that is not currently known. In IRITE, conspicuously missing on this is the fact that the COVID-19 vaccines prevent disease transmission because they don't. The entire basis, now listen, this is important, the entire basis upon which government experts such as Anthony Fauci are attempting to assert their authority to mandate the vaccines is the presumed notion that the unvaccinated are transmitting the virus to other people, when in fact the CDC itself has never claimed that, Sam. And the vaccines, they don't prevent transmission. The only thing that they claim is that COVID-19 vaccines are effective at helping protect against severe disease and death, which is a completely and totally different definition of what a vaccine should do. And I can prove that. I went to the CDC's website, and they have a checklist of eight different things that you should know about the vaccine. And the closest thing to conferring immunity or preventing transmissibility is people who are fully vaccinated can resume many activities they did before the pandemic. However, people should wear a mask indoors if the public need a blah, blah, blah. And then they say again, the COVID-19 vaccines are effective at helping protect against severe disease and death. But they never come right out and say that it prevents transmissibility, which is the entire rationale behind the social distancing, behind everybody getting it, so that you can't transmit it from person to person. So they don't have a leg to stand on legally if they can't prove that the vaccines are effective in preventing transmissibility.
So preventing transmissibility is one huge reality check. It doesn't do so, and that's why the judge dismissed it. In the 90 days following EUA release of the COVID vaccine, they've now recorded 1,223. Who is this now? This is Pfizer itself, has recorded 1,223 deaths and 158,000 adverse reactions, including fetal deaths, spontaneous abortions, and more. They call this in their, quote, encrypted transhuman pharma lingo. They call it the post-marketing experience. In other words, they've admitted blatantly that they know that it's causing death. In every other vaccine rollout in history, if they've had even a fraction of those deaths, they would yank the vaccine off the market in a second. But in this case, they're not doing that at all, ladies and gentlemen. It is criminal. Now, it gets worse, the criminal activity that we're discovering as well, ladies and gentlemen, because Germany, the deep state in Germany, murders doctor for spilling the truth on vaccines. Here's the deal. After spending a year exposing the dangers of, quote, graphene oxide in vaccines, Dr. Andreas Noack, I think is how you say his name, had just discovered that the form of graphene oxide in some vaccines was actually graphene hydroxide, GH, whatever it is. Anyway, they call it permanent structure that stays in the body and does not biodegrade. Now, worse than that, he demonstrated that this GH, that's the initials for this thing, is only 0.1 nanometers thick, which means it acts like razor blades in your bloodstream, folks. And it cuts up and damages your blood vessels and the blood vessel linings, causing all kinds of damage in the body, especially to high-performing athletes, they say, and that's why all these athletes are dying. Anyway, Joel Skousen's worldaffairsbrief.com has the whole breakdown on this, but it is chilling when you dig into this, Chris.
Yeah, and the problem is, unless you have the proper equipment in an autopsy, you cannot detect particles so small as 1 nanometer. So if you do an autopsy, you may not be able to determine the cause of death, which will won't alert people to what the real problem is. And there are other things that they've claimed that are in, scientists have claimed they're in the vaccines that are dangerous as well. Of course, the spike protein itself, is a biohazard. It's been determined by a lot of scientists and doctors to be a biohazard. So, I mean, they got you coming and going, Sam. You don't know. And the fact that they are not legally required to list the ingredients on the vaccine label, it should raise all sorts of red flags, and we're not seeing those red flags. We're still in this state of denial, like we talked about last week, Stockholm syndrome.
Yeah, that sure ties it to our previous discussions, doesn't it?
It certainly does.
Wow. All right, ladies and gentlemen, there's so much to cover on this. We'll never get to it all, but we do want to bring up ZeroHedge.com, and their reporting is incredible on this. I mentioned athletes, Chris. This directly relates, doesn't it?
Yep. A lot of soccer players are falling down and literally dying in the middle of the soccer field. And, these are the most healthy athletes on the face of the earth. Their cardiovascular systems, at least, have to be extremely high level in order to participate at that level. And they're dropping dead like flies. And, everybody, the people, we aren't connecting the dots, apparently. Either that or we're just not getting the information on mainstream media, which is probably more to the point than anything else.
Well, a lot of us are connecting the dots. We're just having a hard time getting the word out to enough people who don't pay attention to the new media taking center stage. That's all. But the article says explosion in new heart conditions dismissed as post-pandemic stress disorder. Articles written by Tyler Durden in Zero Hedge. And it is shocking, the details in this article, Chris.
Yeah, experts in the UK say that an explosion in new heart illnesses in younger patients can be explained by a new condition called post-pandemic stress disorder. I'm not kidding you. This is not in The Onion. This is not in the Babylon Bee. They're literally attributing these heart conditions to younger people, which are typically attributed to older people, by a condition called post-pandemic stress disorder. It's caused by stress, they're claiming, Sam. And I've got two doctors here that are trying to promote that notion. It's obviously not a, so Paul Joseph Watson, who wrote the article, said, well, how can this be? We haven't had, UK hasn't been under any form of lockdowns for almost 6 months, yet now heart conditions are supposed to be attributed to lockdowns. That hasn't been the case for months. The only thing associated with these heart conditions would be the vaccines themselves.
All right, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. You say, Sam, why did you mention Tyler Durden if it's Paul Joseph Watson that wrote the article? Because we got it from Zero Hedge, and they all partner on these investigative research articles. Great work by these guys. Hang tight. Chris Carlson with me. Liberty Roundtable Live.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
You- USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
A semi-rig full of migrants overturned in Chiapas, Mexico, Thursday night, leaving 54 dead and 105 injured. Civil Protection Chiapas said on Twitter that the tragedy was a result of an accident of two trucks traveling on a bridge. Chiapas, Mexico, shares a border with Guatemala. A video of New Suffolk County District Attorney Rachel Rollins freaking out on reporters for attempting to interview her outside of work resurfaced Wednesday after she was confirmed to be President Biden's U.S. Attorney for Massachusetts. The video of Rachel Rollins contains threats, vulgarity, and racist statements. After mainstream media and countless politicians said Jussie Smollett's racist attack was a sign of the times in America, boy, did they get that wrong.
In which they found Mr. Smollett guilty of virtually all charges of doing exactly what we said he did.
Prosecutor Dan Webb, USA Radio News.
You may be into punk rock, soft rock, or classic rock, R&B, hip-hop, or house, country, techno, or techno country. But no matter what kind of music you listen to, here's something else you should hear. Please consider getting vaccinated. Talk to your pharmacist today about Comirnaty, COVID-19 vaccine mRNA. This message brought to you by BioNTech and Pfizer.
America's built and based on liberties and freedoms. Liberty HealthShare brings that to healthcare. The liberty of choosing your own doctor. The liberty of choosing your own hospital. Liberty HealthShare makes healthcare affordable to millions of Americans. Ignite your liberty. Sharing plans starting at $199 for a single, $399 for a couple, and no matter how big the family, only $529. That's $529 for the entire family. To learn how you can save, go to lightyourliberty.com. That's lightyourliberty.com.
Atrocities in China have been documented again.
An independent investigative British-based tribunal said in a report that China has committed genocide against the Muslim minority Uyghur population and other ethnic minorities in the western part of the Asian nation. In the 63-page report, the tribunal said that Beijing had subjected the Uyghur people to unconscionable cruelty and crimes against humanity. It concluded that the actions amounted to genocide. U.S. and Western officials have said that as many as 2 million Uyghurs and other Muslim minorities in China's Xinjiang province have been placed in a network of detention centers. They've been subjected to forced torture, labor, and sexual abuse, and many are being detained without any justification. The report accuses top Chinese officials, including President Xi Jinping, for the humanitarian crisis. From the USA Radio News Pacific Northwest Bureau, I'm Wendy King.
USA Radio News.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Sam Bushman on your radio with Chris Carlson doing a great job. Final story on the vaccine discussion. Vietnam province is in the news with a huge change in direction. Chris?
Yes, sir. The Vietnamese province of Tan Hau has suspended the use of a Pfizer COVID-19 vaccine batch after over 120 students were hospitalized following their inoculations. And it's interesting, so they suspended the batch for those children, but they said that the suspended batch will be put into storage and could be used later for other groups like adults, Truong added. I don't know about you, Sam, but if I were living in Vietnam, that wouldn't be too comforting if I was an adult. I mean, that's an extreme case of Stockholm Syndrome. So they don't want to throw away these batches that put 120 students in the hospital. Because that would be a bit a waste of, you know, good medication for adults, right? Because obviously adults have better immune systems. What's going on here, Sam? It's just nobody's connecting the dots.
What's going on is they've been caught in their lies, and now it's unraveling to the point where judges don't agree. The Senate doesn't agree. Everyone knows Fauci's a fraud. He's lost his credibility. Their claim of following the science is a lie. Now when Fauci gets attacked, he claims that he and science are virtually one and the same. I mean, the guy's just drunk, crazy, with power. And the bottom line is Americans are starting to realize, and people around the world are starting to realize it for what it is. They're realizing that, hey, the vaccines are not the answer. And people are starting to wake up on a lot of fronts. Vaccinations are one of them. But also the abortion debate is another. Conservatives and pro-life folks are starting to push back. And now the abortion debate is before the Supreme Court. World Affairs Brief with great details. The December 3rd World Affairs Brief has a lot of information. So it's last week's World Affairs Brief, but it really breaks this down like nobody's business. Chris?
Yep, this moment that many of us have been waiting to arrive, that the court is going to rehear Roe versus Wade. So Joel Skousen introduces the story by saying, the nation is finally going to get a full determination on whether this current, in quotes, conservative Supreme Court will overturn Roe versus Wade, which created a, quote, right to an abortion, unquote, out of thin air. So this is the Heritage Foundation article that he quotes in his World Affairs Brief. He says, according to the article, the validity of those precedents is on the line because the court in both decisions determined that any abortion ban prior to the viability when the unborn child can potentially live outside the womb is unconstitutional. In this whole hearing of this, and I don't think we're going to get a decision until after the first of the year, is based on a Mississippi ban of abortions after 15 weeks, which is, I'm not sure that was a very good strategic move on their part because viability is generally agreed to be after 24 weeks, Sam. Of course, I believe that viability should be considered at the point of conception, and I know you and I are pretty much in concurrence with that. But Roe versus Wade is going to be challenged, and I wish I could be optimistic, Sam, but I'm not. Because all of the other mechanisms that we could have used for these 47 years, like nullification, legislative nullification, like using the Fifth Amendment, like using the Ten Commandments for that matter, and recognizing that the court, you know, went way out of its bounds, whether it be constitutionally speaking or, you know, according to divine law. All of these remedies that we could have used, and I've got lots and lots of quotes from people who agree with me on this, have been exhausted. And now the American people, with bated breath, have put the decision back in the arena of the Supreme Court, which I think is extremely dangerous because I don't think, you know, our hopes are going to be realized when they come down with the final decision. And I don't know what that'll be. But, you know, 63 million innocent, the most innocent among us, Sam, children have been murdered in their mother's wombs for the last 47 years. And somebody's going to have to pay a price because there's this thing called blood atonement. And we are rapidly rendering ourselves more and more in the debt of our Heavenly Father if we don't get this right. And to depend on the Supreme Court, which is presumably conservative, is a risky proposition. And let me tell you why. And this is what Joel Skousen, I'll just quote from him. The court has established a two-step process for determining whether a precedent should be overruled. This alone is shocking because, and this is the important part, Sam, every hearing on any of Trump's nominees for the court have demanded that all judge candidates accept Roe versus Wade as, quote, settled law, unquote. And I remember when they were having hearings for Neil Gorsuch's nomination, that Neil Gorsuch himself stated under no uncertain terms would he oppose Roe versus Wade, and that he considered it settled law. And I remember thinking, this is our savior politically, Donald Trump, and this is the man that he's chosen, you know, to be one of the nine judges in the Supreme Court. And I don't think Amy Coney Barrett is any different, nor is Brett Kavanaugh. I think, you know, all three of those quote-unquote conservative judges will probably, for the most part, genuflect to Roe versus Wade, if for no other reason than that it's been around for over 47 years. And I don't think that's justification for any Supreme Court decision. Anyway, I've been going on ad nauseum. Did you want to add anything before I can? Because I've got a lot of information that I'd like to share concerning Roe versus Wade, Sam.
Yeah, quickly, I want to say this. Let's break down kind of the judges. They've all said that this is already decided law. So, sadly, they spoke out of turn, in my opinion. So we kind of know where they stand. Then they've also made statements about their views on things, which taint the argument even further. But I think we need to really get to the heart of the issue. The Supremes in their robes can babble on all they want to, but all they do is issue opinions. Well, I've got opinions, and then there's facts, okay? And facts are really important, ladies and gentlemen. Courts are very important, yes, but not as important as the truth, all right? So let's be very clear about the truth about this. All these guys can have opinions. Now, we could guess what we think they're going to do, and I can give my opinion on that in just a second. But let's be very clear about the reality of abortion, ladies and gentlemen. Persons have already exercised their rights, their inherent rights, when they engage in sex. But the fact is, ladies and gentlemen, they're not free to walk away from that responsibility. All right? It's like if I were to take off in my car, all right, and then I have a right to drive a car, true, but then if I crash and damage somebody else's car, that doesn't get me off the hook from responsibility, ladies and gentlemen, okay? And so, A, when you produce a child, you have your agency, your choice, but you have consequences related to those choices that simply cannot be escaped. Chris, that's really the bottom line, boiled down to the bottom line of the discussion, isn't it?
Yeah, because there is a third party, whereas in most Supreme Court cases where you sin against yourself, which, you know, adultery or fornication, in my mind, is a sin, but I'm not going to run out and arrest you because you're engaging in those sinful acts. But if you bring a third party into the equation, yes, I believe that it is incumbent upon the general populace through their governments to intervene in behalf of that now innocent soul that you voluntarily with your partner brought into this world. Yeah, and Joel Scows in no uncertain terms makes that point very powerfully in the World Affairs Brief. So we have to protect that life. I don't care if it's an inconvenience for you for the next 9 months. And, you know, and it used to be when Roe versus Wade was passed, was handed down, I should say, as a Supreme Court decision in 1943, there weren't a lot of what are called safe haven laws. Are you familiar with those?
Yes,
Okay, so in other words, and I checked Utah, and they have a safe haven law. I think I'm misstating the term. Anyway, if you have a child and you cannot or do not want to raise that child, you can hand that child over to the authorities. You can take it to a fire station. You can take it to a police station. And you are absolved from that point forward from any responsibility for that child for the rest of your life. And that child will be taken care of. There will be found a stable family for that child to be raised in. And, he'll live or she will live happily ever after. And that wasn't the case when Roe versus Wade was passed. So there's no rationalization for you not to bring that baby to term and bring it in this world, because knowing that that child will be given a good home. So there's no reason for that to happen. Otherwise, you know, we as a society will have that innocent blood on our hands. Collectively speaking, if we don't do anything to protect that the most innocent among us child.
Trump might not have done perfect, ladies and gentlemen, during his presidency. There's a lot of gaffes in what he's done. But I will say this, and Joel Skousen agrees, Trump's hundreds of judicial appointments during his presidency are now haunting Joe Biden. Trump changed the federal appellate courts to be much more conservative. Quick pause. Liberty Roundtable Live.
The spirit of the American West is live and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues affecting the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like the 2021 Real Buckaroo Calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
Decades after Jimmy Carter, Joe Biden picked up where he left off. With America surrendering to terrorists, Biden's foolish spending is causing inflation, which means more pain at the pump, higher prices on groceries, devaluing your retirement savings when you need it most. Once was a mistake. Twice is a disaster. America needs strong leaders, not weak ones. Save America JFC is responsible for the content of this advertising.
To leave a message, press 1. To change your message, press 7.
Hey, Mom, Dad, Mark here. Wow, I love college, really. I never knew living on my own could be so, good for me.
To change your message, press 7.
So, here I am at college. It's cool. Well, of course, it's only been a week.
To change your message.
Hey, it's me. I was just remembering that time I hit my first home run, you know, through the garage window. Thanks for not being mad. No.
To change your...
Hi. Boy, I miss you guys. I miss my room. I miss waking up to warm socks straight from the dryer. Warm socks?
Family. Isn't it about time?
Hi, it's Mark. Love you guys. I'll call you later.
From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
All right, back to the live Sam Bushman, Chris Carlson on your radio talking about the Supreme Court, talking about abortion and the lie that you have a right to murder another. You see, ladies and gentlemen, when you have a pregnancy, you have a third party. You have the male and female that created the child, procreative power, partnering with God. But then the third party is this baby, this new life. They want you to believe you can stuff out life. But so far, even Joel Skousen, worldaffairsbrief.com, writes this. Trump's hundreds of judicial appointments during his presidency are now haunting Joe Biden. Trump changed the federal appellate courts, tilting them in favor of conservative values. Now it's a thorn in Biden's side. Well, time will tell what kind of a thorn it really is in Biden's side. I find that, you know, Trump's judges are doing some good, no doubt, but they've lost a lot of cases, and a lot of liberalism by the courts and by these Supremes have sold us down the river in many, many, many cases as well. Healthcare being a primary point to make, ladies and gentlemen. They literally doubled down after Republicans promised to jettison Obamacare, and then they basically had the courts just sell us down the river over and over and over to the point where, hey, Congress and the courts made us lose that one big time, proving the Republicans are really for Obamacare, even though they claim they're against it. There might be a few genuine Republicans that are against it, but for the most part, they've doubled down in favor of. The question is, what will happen in the Supreme Court discussion on abortion? Right now, this Texas law, kind of at the heart of it, Mississippi, kind of at the heart of it, and we'll kind of see what the Supreme Court justices do. A lot of people believe they'll jettison Roe versus Wade. I agree with you, Chris. I'm not so optimistic. What I find the courts rarely do is double down in defense of something clearly, unequivocally stand for something. What they usually do is create this train wreck of compromise to where in the end of the day you go, well, that was a slap in the face, kind of win but loss, but yet I don't really know. Both sides end up claiming victory. This is the kind of stuff that I usually see, Chris.
Well, remember the Heller decision where the Supreme Court upheld the individual right to keep and bear arms, yet they included a caveat that the government can regulate that right to keep and bear arms. Well, do you really have a right if the government can abridge that right under circumstances? Of course not. So I got a feeling that they're going to come back at the beginning of next year, and they're going to throw a bone to the conservatives and convince them that they've moved the needle, when in fact there's going to be a caveat. A caveat that's, and this is just me predicting, Sam. I don't have any more inside information than anybody else. But like you said, it's too good to be true. You know, to abolish Roe versus Wade, I don't think the deep state can afford that. I know that Amy Comey Barrett, Neil Gorsuch, and Brett Kavanaugh never mentioned Roe versus Wade meaningfully in their confirmation hearings. So there's no reason for me to have any hope that they're going to stand up for liberty and for the protection of the sacred right to life that these, the most innocent among us, are.
Not only have they
to.
Not stood up for that right, really, they've also kind of suggested and hinted and kind of hung around that this is already settled law. So that's kind of a thorn in their side as well. Now, might it be turned back to the states with caveats? I think that's very possible indeed. But if that happens, what you do, though, is you now, because you set this precedent for 60 years, almost, or 50 years at least, I guess 50 years, is you basically now divide the nation between, quote, quote, red and blue, extreme. So you got California, which is literally swearing they'll become the abortion haven of the nation, whereas you got Texas, Mississippi, and a few other pretty bold states saying, hey, we'll reject murder everywhere it's found with harsh penalties. But what you're doing is you're going to divide the states on this between, and I hate to say it, but red and blue or whatever term you want, pro-death and pro-life. It might be an irreversible divide in the nation. So I think they might go for it because they like that divide. The more they divide, the more they can conquer us. That's the communist manifesto principle of the Hegelian dialectic. And the only answer to resolve the crisis they create is more government. And so they might back into this in a shorthanded, slap you in the face kind of way, but yet it'll eventually haunt. Because then if the states are divided too much on this issue, then it will become another Supreme Court case. So they might dismiss Roe versus Wade, turn it back to the states, then with a hodgepodge of division, then the Supreme Court unites us in some other manipulated way to even create more tyranny out of once we thought was just an abortion law, now becoming a greater tyranny. I'm predicting something of that nature to happen. Chris?
Yeah, I agree, because divide and conquer is their ultimate strategy. They want to see us fighting each other in the streets. That way they don't have to fight us. And that is a strategy, and it might just cause, like you said, it might cause greater division as a result. And, you know, my mom taught me since I was 5 years old, if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. And in politics, that's even more true. But the sad thing about it, Sam, is, you know, we, as a state, I'm a member of the state of Utah. That's my country as I see it under the Constitution. The federal government, you know, has very limited authority and limited powers to do a very few things in my behalf, whereas the state is the governmental body that I associate with mostly. And right now, as it stands, Sam, the state of Utah could abolish abortion, and it very well should. But the fact that we're genuflecting to the Supreme Court, which has no enforcement power, which has no legislative power, you know, this weakest of all of the three branches of government is exercising this authority over us when we shouldn't be genuflecting to them or respecting that authority, is contrary to what the Founding Fathers talked about. I would like to read Federalist 78. I know you guys talk about Federalist 46 a lot, you and Lowell Nelson. But Alexander Hamilton said this in Federalist 78, the judiciary, so that's the Supreme Court, on the contrary, has no influence over either the sword or the purse. No direction, either of the strength or of the wealth of the society, and can take no active resolution whatever. It may truly be said to have neither force nor will, but merely judgment. And I want to emphasize that. It's made a judgment. It's registered an opinion. Now, we can either accept that and enforce that opinion, or we can ignore it and nullify it. And I say as a state, we should ignore and nullify that, because the Constitution gives the Supreme Court neither legislative nor enforcement power. And they intended it to be that way, so that it would register its opinion, and either the federal or the states or the local governments can take that seriously, or we can just say, okay, thanks for your opinion. We're going to obey. We would rather obey God's law than man's law. And we would be 1,000% justified in doing that, Sam, and you and I both know that.
Yeah, we would. There's no question. There's no question about that, Chris. Where the rubber meets the road, in my opinion, is we have the authority to nullify now. There's no question. But ladies and gentlemen, what you got to remember is this nation is incredibly powerful at carrying out the separation of powers, allowing the consent of the governed to maintain control of their servants, government officials at all levels. The checks and balances, vertical and horizontal, are one of the grand keys for that maintaining of power by we the people as we give consent to those who serve us. But remember, ladies and gentlemen, that this nation is only the governing of this nation is only adequate for a moral and a religious people. All right. Yeah. And so if we're going to set aside morality and religion, we are going to lose our ability to hold this nation together, because the very united front of a moral religious people managing the separations of powers appropriately disintegrates, and the powers that are supposed to be separate become all in one, judge, jury, and executioner, and the people become divided on every point of issue, every point of discussion. And so when the people are divided and the government's unified, we're in trouble. And it's supposed to be the opposite. We unified moral religious people use the divisions that we've intentionally created in government to maintain control. And the checks and balances are the key to that exercise. Now, anyway, I digress a little bit, but it's completely relevant in these discussions before the courts today, Chris.
Yeah, the people are the sovereign. I mean, it's the people's will that presumably the government is executing. And when the government begins to execute the will of the minority against, and especially against God's laws, I mean, it's very clear. The Ten Commandments say, thou shalt not kill. So let me pose this question to you. And the answer is in the answer that you'll give me. Do God's laws supersede man's laws, or do man's laws supersede God's laws? And I say, in every case whatsoever, God's laws always supersede and take precedence over man's laws. So on its
well,
face,
let me explain it this way. In a constitutional republic, God's laws supersede man's laws. That's true. And in a real world of truth and honor and integrity, God's laws always supersede man's laws. But in a democracy, man's laws become king. And that's why democracies every time run off the rails and destroy themselves, eventually turn into anarchy, turning into tyranny, reminding the people to remember their God once more. So your point's right, but we got to put it in perspective about when man decides to not pay attention to God and pay attention to their own laws, to their own edicts, to their own imaginations, if you will, it always runs off the rails, always has, and always will. Chris?
Yep. And even, let's say you're an atheist. Let's give you that. And a lot of people claim that, well, I don't believe in God, so this doesn't apply to me. Well, you're still a citizen in this constitutional republic. And according to the Constitution, and I'm reading from Article 6 of the Constitution, word for word, this Constitution and the laws of the United States, which shall be made in pursuance thereof, and that's a key expression, or a key phrase, which shall be made in pursuance thereof, and all treaties made or what shall be made under the authority of the United States shall be the supreme law of the land. So people say, well, you know, Roe versus Wade was passed under a constitutionally mandated Supreme Court, but it was not made in pursuance of the Constitution. And I can give you several accounts. One is the Constitution does not give jurisdiction to any branch, let alone the Supreme Court of the federal government, authority to rule on cases of abortion. So already you're out of your jurisdiction. That devolves to the states or the local government or to the individual. Okay. Second of all, according to the Fifth Amendment, let's see if I can bring that up real quick. I think I've got it memorized. No person shall be denied life, liberty, or property without due process of law. Boom. There's your strike two, Sam. You're depriving the most innocent human beings among us of life, liberty, and I wouldn't say property in this case, without due process of law. The Tenth Amendment, there's your strike three, boom. If you don't understand the Fifth Amendment and Article 6, then you've got the Tenth Amendment, which says that the Constitution doesn't specifically delegate it, you cannot exercise it.
Ladies and gentlemen, there you have it. We want to pray for we the people as we reject vaccination forced tyranny, and as we debate and discuss, not only in the Supreme Court, but in Americans' households all over the nation, will we tolerate the murder of the most innocent among us, abortion, or will we finally stand up and reject that tyranny? We pray we reject murder, and we stand for pro-life at all costs. We don't have confidence in the courts when the people aren't willing to turn to their God Almighty. If we would turn to God, I have confidence in the courts. I believe we as a nation can pray and stand together and repent, and we can turn this around, but it's going to take we the people. Thanks, Chris. God bless America.